cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The smile that I hide, my blushing face, while his dear cross appears.
Do you remember when you saw the cross? Do you remember when you saw the cross, when you realized the gospel in the gospel story was a salvation for your soul? I remember 67 years ago in past March. It seems like a long time when you say it, but it doesn't seem like a long time when you feel it. When you feel it, it just seems like yesterday. Welcome, my friends, to Open Bible Dialogue. All over the world, especially all over the world, but all over the Charlotte area stations, not just in Charlotte, down east and other places. Welcome to every one of you. Welcome to every one of you. We got a great broadcast today. You see the inscription over my head. Our God watches over the Holy Bible. Our God watches over the Holy Bible. Now, I'm going to say that a lot of times today because I want you to get the message that God watches over the Bible. Now, I've been digging before the Lord and waiting on revelations from the Bible. And if there's anything got a hold of me the last days, it is that God is about to reveal himself. God's going to be wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. That's in the book of Acts 2:19. Wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. Now, I believe that God revealing himself as he is about to do, that it's going to elevate the Bible and elevate the scripture. And there's going to be a new emphasis on the truth of this Holy Bible. The truth of this Holy Bible, that God has this Bible in front of us. I will read for you in a little bit that God has exalted the Bible even above his names. That all the great names of God, Jehovah, just El Shaddai, and the many wonderful names, Jesus, wonderful names. It's just amazing the many beautiful names that we have for the Father and the Son. And wonderful names for the Holy Spirit also. But God has elevated this Bible that I hold up in front of you above all his name. I mean, every name you could name about God, the Bible still stands as the very foundation of all of truth, the very foundation of everything we believe. And so today, we're going to deal with how God watches over his Holy Bible. Now, let me take you first to Jeremiah, one of the Old Testament major prophets, and he says something that's quite overwhelming. Really, it is beautiful to read. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten my word to perform it. So God is watching over his word, and he will perform it in direct order as the Bible has written, as the Bible has said. Now, you can depend on everything you've read in your Bible, everything you've read in your Bible, that God will perform it. And like that word, I will hasten. That means I will move with speed. I will move with carefulness. It will be a great honor to me, God is saying, to hasten his word that we might know the word of God cannot be denied. It cannot be doubted, and it must not be altered. It must not be altered. Somewhere toward the end of this hour, I'm going to give you 7 reasons that I love the Bible. Now, you say, which Bible do you love? I love the Authorized Bible. And when I say that, I'm not just speaking of the King James Version. I'm speaking of the Textus Receptus, which is the Greek, and the Masoretic, which is the Hebrew. I am a stickler for the old-fashioned authorized text that is written in a Hebrew Bible and written in a Greek Bible. Now, I can't read Hebrew or Greek, but I have a Bible that interprets it for me directly, right with the Scripture, line by line by line, by precept, so that I know what the Bible has said and has spoken, and I love it, and I would not dare alter it. If there's anything that characterizes this church, over 50 years I've been the pastor here. If anything characterizes it, it is a love for the Bible. We have held the Bible high. We have exalted every great truth in it. We've been careful to never, never turn from one promise in the Bible, or one standard in the Bible, one commandment in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, listen, in context with the Bible, now listen, I want you to hear this. In context with the Bible, there is about to be signs, wonders in the heavens above. I'm looking for it any morning, any day. When you go by Tuckasegee out front go by this church out front on Tuckasegee Road, I wish you'd start looking up over this church. For sometime soon, God is going to show his wonders in the heavens above and his signs in the earth beneath. I don't believe it's going to be over Walmart, and I don't believe it's going to be over Amazon. I think it's going to be over a church or churches where the Word of God is their absolute commitment. If your church is not absolutely given to the Bible, you need to find a church that is, because when God begins to show himself, he's going to show himself in the house of God. He's going to show himself in the house of God. There'll be more than one. It won't just be Paul Creek. It may be 10,000 churches around the world. I don't know where all he's going to show his wonders in heaven above. And you say, do you know it's going to be over the church? No, I don't know it's going to be over the church, but I know he's going to show his wonders. And let me read that to you also in conjunction with what I'm saying here, because I want these things to really get a hold of your heart today. I think it's time we got shook up, if you don't mind me saying so. I think it's time we got shook up and became aware that we are right there at the end. We're right there where things are beginning to develop fast. And if God said, I will hasten my word to perform it, then we're living in the day of the end when God is about to hasten his word. I don't know what all God's going to do. I will tell you when I know something, when the Holy Spirit tells me something, but I tell you what he's telling me. He's telling me that he will hasten to perform his word. He will hasten to perform his word. And listen to this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then he goes on to say, well, how did I miss that word? Come on here. I know, in the wrong column. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, what I pour out of my spirit, of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now listen, I will show wonders. Listen now, verse 19 of Acts 2. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs in the earth beneath. Now listen to this. This is without question. This is going to happen. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be darkened and the moon shall turn to light before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, this is something that the Bible says will happen before the Lord come. Now, I don't know whether it's before the rapture or it's before his coming to the earth at the end of the 7 years. I just know we're moving in that direction. We are close at the door. Nobody can deny that. You can't read the Bible and not know that every prophecy has been fulfilled in perfect order until right now. The only prophecies left are those right now at the end, like this particular prophecy, hadn't been fulfilled yet. It was partially fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, but not completely. All you got to do is study the day of Pentecost, and there was not a fulfillment of this total prophecy. And then he makes it plain that Peter is speaking here on the day of Pentecost, and he's saying the end days, the end of the end, these things are going to happen. So wonders in the heavens above. Are you looking? Are you watching? I am. I come to church often and look up at the sky as I approach the house of God, expecting any moment for there to be wonders in the heavens above. You know, God don't alter his word. He watches over it to hasten it. Are you hearing me? God is watching, according to Jeremiah. God is watching over these prophecies that have been given by the Holy Ghost that are in the Bible, and they will every one be fulfilled in perfect biblical order. Now, I'm bringing you something today that I hope will awaken you, and that you'll get some fire in your bosom and some fire in your heart to get busy with these things of our Lord, to get busy with the understanding of where we are. The house of God is the place of his revelations, where this Bible is made manifest. And let me tell you what the devil hates in this generation. He hates the pure word of God. He don't care about these corrupted Bible versions. Before I finish today, I'm going to give you some of the corruption in the NIV. That's probably the biggest Bible out there now. Most Pentecostal churches have adopted it. They slow remotely moved away from the King James Version, and they are into this corrupt Bible, and the NIV is a lying Bible. Listen to me. I'm not telling you something I don't know. It's a lying Bible. It absolutely is not the true Word of God. And I believe, and this is my opinion, if your church is in the NIV, there won't be no wonders from God over that building. I promise you, it'll be over the house of God where the Word of God is pure and unadulterated. Now, if you don't agree with this, I'm not going to be angry with you. In fact, I'm going to welcome your calls here in a little bit and let you say what you believe about what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, God is watching over His Word to hasten. I like that word. That's His Word, H-A-S-T-E-N, to hasten the fulfillment of the Bible. Now, I never seen that before. I never felt what I'm telling you before. But this week in prayer, every morning, 2-3 hours, I've been waiting on God, and the Holy Spirit has been speaking deeply and profoundly to me about this hour, and I'm watching for it. I'm waiting for it, and I know what the end results will be. You know, when that wonder comes up in the sky, like God said it would happen, it will probably linger. It may linger for weeks on end. It may linger up there 500-600 feet and then slowly descend. That's kind of what I'm expecting. I don't know it'll be that way. God can do whatever He wants to do it. But I know one thing. When you begin to see wonders in the heaven above, some of you are going to get you're going to get shook up. And you're going to begin to wonder, why have I played such a game with God? And why have I been so careless about the Bible and obeying the Scripture? And why have I lost my faith and become lukewarm and indifferent? Or why am I backslid and living in the world of sin and fornication and every kind of adultery? I'm telling you, friend, we are right at the day, at the door, day and door, no ifs and ands to me. God will hasten His Word to perform it. Now, I want to tell you something else that is really overwhelming to me. These scriptures are very important, and we'll come back to them as you have questions or something you want to say. We'll come back to them, but I want to mark them, and I want you to go with me to Psalms 138. Psalms 138, one of the great passages of God's holy Bible. You know, it's wonderful to know how much God loves His wonderful Word. Are you aware that God loves His wonderful Word? And I love it. I love it with all of my heart. Now, in the book of, in the book of Psalms, I hope I got it marked here. 12. No, I'm looking at the wrong verses. No, I'm got it. 138, 2. I got it. I want to read this to you. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Oh, I do that all the time. I worship toward the house of God. Every Holy Ghost-filled house of God is a holy temple. You understand that? Every Holy Ghost-filled house of God is a holy temple. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise the name for thy forgiveness. I will praise thy name for thy forgiveness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy names. Now, I quoted a little bit of that a while ago, but I'm reading it to you. This is the word of the living God, and I want to read it again. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise the name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thy truth. I will praise thy name for thy truth. That's for the Bible. I will praise thy name for the Bible. I will praise thy name for the Bible. For I have magnified, now listen, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Now the psalmist David said that in the Holy Ghost, or by the Holy Ghost. Thou hast magnified thy Bible. When you say the name Jehovah, that's a beautiful name. When you say the name I am that I am, or Yahweh, or El Shaddai, or any of the great names of God, or the names of Jesus. He's the Word, the bread of life. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the bread of life. He said, I'm the light of the world. He says, I'm the door. I'm going to preach on that number 3 tomorrow. I am the door, and I'm going to preach about the things that His door opens for you, opens you to go into, to become a part of. The first one, it opens up the door for you to become a member of the family of God. Think about being a member of God's family. Being one of his adopted sons or adopted daughters. Hallelujah. That's my sermon tomorrow. But just those great names. And there are many of them. The Bible is full of names of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. But he says that he's magnified his word above all. It says all, A-L-L, all my name. Above all the name of God, the word has been magnified. That's breathtaking. That's wonderful. That's exciting. The Bible exalted above all his names. And yet we play with it like it's a smorgasbord. Like we can go into all the different corrupted versions and pick the one that has less pressure on how we live and less correction on our old fleshly living. Oh yeah, the world is looking for Bibles that fit their little fancy. Find the one you like best. That's not how God said it, my dear friend. God made it plain that his word is his word. And he made it plain that you must not alter it. If you alter the Bible, you will lose your name out of the book of life. I'll read that to you. Oh, Brother Chambers, you can't. Nobody can lose their name out of the book of life. Oh, yes, they can. I'll read it to you. I'll show it to you in the book. Is this the book? Do you believe this book? You rather believe somebody's opinion? I'm telling you, God has magnified his word above his name. And as I read in Jeremiah 1, he hastens his word. That's Jeremiah 1 and 12. He hastens his word to perform it. Now, this is from my heart today. I promise you, I've wept over this broadcast all during the week. I've been excited to bring it to you and hopefully awaken a few thousand of you to get back into that Bible and start living by the Holy Book. Oh, Brother Chambers, you're always coming up with something to stir me up. Well, that's what men of God are for. Men of God are men who are supposed to be gatekeepers. They're supposed to be watchmen on the wall. Is your pastor a watchman on the wall? Or is this a cheerleader? Is he just somebody that brags on you? And somebody that tries to take away any convictions you've got and tell you that God is so gracious, he'll forgive you of everything. You don't have to worry about it. Just keep on enjoying living. Live like you please to live. God's not concerned about correcting you. Well, you better read the Bible, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible is plain. The Bible is beautiful. I love it. I love it with all my heart. I've given 67, going on 68 years to this Bible. I couldn't even read when I was converted at 16. Couldn't even read. And I learned to read with this authorized version of the Bible. And I've loved it and lived in it. And I'm telling you, it's a wonderful book. Now, let me take you somewhere and show you one of the big lies in the NIV Bible. Now, this is one of the big lies in the NIV Bible. Now, your church probably has it. If you're in a normal church, probably one in the racks for you to read. And probably the pastor reads from it. I really don't know. I don't know who does what out there. It's become such a smorgasbord. Who can keep up with it? But let's go to Psalms Division 12. I want you to hear this now. I'll read the word of God to you. The words of the Lord is pure words. Now listen, the words of the Lord is pure words. When I say to you the Bible is the only perfect book in the world, I know what I'm talking about. It's the only perfect book in all the world. All the world. Not another perfect book. You say, well, they don't have a King James Version in Russia. Oh, but they do have you can put the authorized text in any language on the face of this earth. And I would presume that every language has an authorized version of the Bible. You may have to search to find it. You may have to order it off of Amazon. I don't know whether Amazon has any of them or not. I don't know how you may have to get it, but I know what. I'd get it before I gave up. I have the Greek in the original Greek, and I have the Hebrew in the original Masoretic, and I have books that will interpret it for me, but I have the authorized Bible, and I go by it because it came from the right text. I'm not a King James only. I'm an authorized text only. I want the authorized version of the Bible, and I don't want what these liberals have put together and try to tell me it's the Bible. So the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Now, you can't purify gold and get it much purer than that. That means it was put in a furnace one time, and the gold rose to the top, and you skim it off, and you put what came off the skimming, you put that back in the furnace, and you heat it again until it's liquid hot, and again the pure gold rises, and the crud goes to the bottom, and do that seven times, and you got a 99.99, that's almost there, pure gold. Well, he said the Bible's like that. It's been purified like gold seven times. Then the King James says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord." Listen to that. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. But do you know what the NIV changed that to be? I don't know. I've got the text here with both of them back to back, but I can't read them because they're so small. And I'm trying to get that settled where I came. But let me try to read what the NIV has done with that verse. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe. Now, Satan have changed that from "Thou, Lord, will keep them" to "You, Lord, will keep the needy." Talking about people. They changed the text from talking about God to talking about you. I mean, that's a lie. That's a total fabrication that the NIV has got hundreds of in their NIV Bible. Oh, I wish you would hear me and help me do something about your church and your people, the man who you listen to preach, and tell him use the authorized Bible or I'm not listening any longer. That's exactly what I tell him. I'd be looking for me a church, you know. God help us to understand this. Thou will keep them. Now, I got to read all of those two verses again. The words of the Lord are pure words. That's what he said about the Bible. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire. Then it speaks about the Lord. It's still talking about the Lord. Thou, O Lord, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. And the NIV took that away from God and put it talking about needy people being kept and being preserved. Oh, that's not what God said. God said, thou shalt keep your word. Well, you know God keeps his word. You know God doesn't have to look around to find where his word is. He has preserved it from every generation right now down to right now. God has been faithful with his Bible. God has been faithful with his Bible. There are many religious people, and you ask them, you believe in the literal word of God? They said, we believe in the literal original transcripts, the original writings of the men who wrote the Bible. Well, why believe in them if you can't believe in the people who translated them and brought them down to the modern era? To the modern era. You know what the Catholic Church did to people who was translating the Bible and putting it in the language of the people. They killed them. They burned them at stakes. They did everything they could, hold them under the water till they drowned it. I mean, any old brutal way they could kill them, they'd kill them, you know, because they were giving the word of God to me and you, to us innocent, hungry people. We didn't want what the priest had to say. We wanted what God had to say. Well, that's how I feel today. I don't want what these translators that literally did not believe the Bible. They just, at best, they're nothing but paraphrases. That's all they are. The NIV is one of the worst paraphrases it is. They call it a transliteration instead of a literal translation. A transliteration. That means whatever the man believed that's translating that particular section puts in there what he believes. Now, I don't want no Bible like that. I want the Word of God, pure. And here's what I got, it right here. I don't have to worry. When I stand before God, I know what he said. I know what he said, and he will keep everything he said. Now, I think I've established for you that God hastens to perform his Word. He watches over it. He keeps his eye upon it. He knows what everybody has done with it. He knows what the false translators has done. He knows what the liberals have done. But God is keeping His word. He's not keeping their word. He's keeping His word. God is not preserving their word. He's preserving His word. God is not hastening to fulfill their word. He's hastening to fulfill His word. Are you hearing me? He's hastening to fulfill His word. Now, God has exalted His word above His name. God has exalted His word above His name. No doubt about it. And God hastens, as the Bible says, to perform His word, to do what He said. The verses in Acts 2 that I read to you that says, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. Don't you even doubt it. It's going to happen. Don't you even doubt it. If you doubt it, you doubt your Bible. You don't doubt Brother Chambers. You doubt your Bible. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And I believe we're right at the door. I'm looking for it in my life. 83. I don't know how many years I'll live. I'm shooting for 120 to be as old as Moses was. I hope I don't have a chance because I want the Lord to come. And I want to get out of here. I'm sick of the mess. I'm sick of the darkness. I'm sick of being hated. I mean, I'm just plain hated by a lot of people. I'm not kidding you. And I can't change it because I cannot change what I am and who I obey and what I do to please Him and how hungry I seek to walk with Him. Now, let me plainly tell you, we are living in a dark day and it's rough out there and it's going to get worse. Do you understand? Now, go with me to Matthew. What does Jesus think about the Bible? What does Jesus think about the Bible? Have you read the scripture lately? Man shall not live. I'm sorry. My little thinker sometimes has a moment there of transfer to a new thought. But God said, the Lord said, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word, notice He said word, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, this is why you must not mess with those false translations, because God doesn't want you to feed on false opinions of men, so-called scholars. God wants you to depend on what He said. And that's why an authorized Bible is exactly what God said. It's what the Holy Ghost gave. It's a pure Bible. The authorized Bible is pure. And again, it is it is the old manuscripts that are Greek and Hebrew, and the King James came directly from them. That's why I believe and love the King James Bible. But I love it because it came from the right translations. It came from the right Greek text and the right Hebrew. I can't read Hebrew and I can't read Greek. I got to have English and I got to have somebody who gives it to me like it is. Now, let's go, if we might, to the book of Matthew. What did Jesus think about all this argument of the Bible? It was going on way before us. This has always been an argument among liberal people who want to change the Bible to suit their opinion. They want to make it sound like they wanted to make it sound. Well, let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, and I read from the book of Matthew chapter 5. Let me make sure I get my magnifying glass here. He says, for verily I say unto you, verily I say unto you, for verily, now notice that word verily, that means, hey, stop and listen, verily, verily, truly, truly, honestly, I'm speaking the truth, Jesus was saying, I'm speaking the truth, the Son of God was saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, till heaven and earth pass away, that sounds like right down to the end of me, what do you think, not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments, do you hear me? Whosoever breaks them and teaches others, notice that, shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. And whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God. Now, what do you prefer here? Do you prefer the Bible just like it is, the pure Word of God? Are you willing to take the Bible and just keep it right, pure and simple? And just, you know, there's nothing about the Bible hard to understand. When I got saved at 16, couldn't read. I was a school dropout. They handed me a Bible, and I couldn't even read a little primer in the fourth or fifth grade, much less the Bible. And here I am with a Bible, and I started reading, and I started praying, and the Holy Ghost opened the Bible to me, and I just began to soak it up. And for 67 years, I've been soaking up the Bible and soaking up the truth, and there's nothing in the Bible hard to understand. Did you know that? There's nothing in the Bible hard to understand. You may have to look up a word once in a while to find what that word means. That's what I did with hasten. The Bible said he hastens his word to perform it. What does the word hasten mean? It means he moves with great delight in performing his word. He moves with speed in fulfilling his word at the proper and right time. God's never late for anything. And he's not going to be late with that wonder in the heavens above. I'm looking for it every day now. I sure would be thrilled if it shows up while I'm doing this radio program. If it shows up tomorrow while I'm preaching the word, you know, it's up to God. But I'm telling you that the Lord God is going to hasten his word to perform it. Now, I hope I'm making that real to you, that God is going to hasten his word to perform it. Now, let's go back to these words by Jesus. He said, not one jot or tittle. You know what a jot is, or a tittle? It's like the crossing of a T or the dot of an I. It's the finest part of the punctuation of a given word, a given sentence. And so the finest point, a spot in all of his translations and words, he said they shall not pass away. They shall not pass away. You play games with it? Do like you please? Be stubborn? Pay Joe Chambers and other preachers that preach the truth of God's Bible and teach and love the old King James Version and bring it to you with all the diligence of their heart. I don't bring you nothing and try to twist it around and change it. I just give you what the Bible says. Now, you understand it, I think, what I'm saying today, and I'm trying to move along so that nothing gets missed. I don't want to miss anything. Let's go to Revelation 22. Let's go to Revelation 22. Oh, what a word, what a Bible this is. What, I love this old book. I love this word. Let me say again, he exalts the word. He magnifies the word above all his names. It even says all his names. He magnifies the word above all his names. You need to share this with everybody. I wish everybody who is one of my friends would share this with all of your friends. Will you do that right now? They can get the early part. It'll be archived right on the internet, jrc@paulcreek.org, or it'll be archived in Facebook. So you just go there and go back in Facebook on my page, Joseph Chambers, and you'll find the program right there for days to come to listen and to dig into your Bible and to quit playing with these false versions. Quit playing with them. Quit letting your life be anchored to something so questionable. You say, what if I make it to heaven? What are you going to do? I'm going to be grateful that you made it. That's what I'm going to be grateful. You say, well, I read just a page on the NIV and I got saved. Good. Now go get your real Bible and it will help you grow. It'll help you mature. In fact, if you get good and saved, God will direct you to get a Bible that is authorized and that is pure. I promise you that. He'll do it. He'll do it. Let me read to you now. Let's go to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. For I testify, this is John the Revelator, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Notice he said this book. We're talking about the whole book. We're not talking about just the book of Revelation. We're talking about the whole Bible. Listen again. I'll read. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, if any man shall add unto these things, notice, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. if you add to your Bible, God's going to add to you the plagues that are written in this Holy Bible. Oh, when you begin to read the plagues of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's awesome. And the wicked are going to suffer them, and it's going to be hell on earth. It's going to be a terrible time. But he said, if you add to this Bible, he's going to add to you the plagues that are written in this book. Now let's go to the next verse. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book. Notice he said words. You can't even take away one word. He says words with an S. If any man shall take away the words of this book, of this prophecy, the words of this, of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Woo! God shall take away his part out of the book of life. I don't believe anybody can backslide. Well, that's a false doctrine that you've been preached, and it's not biblical. Because here it is in the Bible that if you add anything to God's word, he'll take your name out of the book of life. He said he'll take your part out of the book of life. He doesn't say anything but plain words. If you add to this book, I will take away your part out of the book of life. That means you're lost, friend. That means you're going to go to hell, my friend, because God has taken away your part. Now, you can repent. Right now is a good time to repent. You've been adding to God's Bible. You're a preacher man that's been standing in the pulpit and preaching stuff that isn't biblical. Right now is a good time to repent and save your soul. Ask God to forgive you. Do you remember what I've been saying? Anything the blood washes away, any sin, any transgression, any unrighteousness that you repent of and God washes away, it is not even remembered by God. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'll show that to you in a minute because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible that God does not remember your sins and your transgressions that he has washed away. That wasn't true in the Old Testament. They had to go back every year and re-offer the gifts for their sins. But in the New Testament, once our sins are washed away, he never remembers those sins again. If you sin again, he'll remember those sins you haven't repented of. Those sins you've done and thought you could be bullheaded and go on do your own thing, I promise you, those sins you will be accountable for unless you repent of them and forsake them and turn from them and live a pure and godly life. Now, I got to read this again. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. If you add to God's word, you're in a heap of trouble. If you add to God's word, you're in a heap of trouble. Now, I've done my best to show you the Bible as a pure, unadulterated book, as a pure, perfect book. I've done my best to show you why it's perfect, because God's watching over it. And because God's going to perform it, even hasten to perform it, that he's exalted his word above his name. You know, the Jewish people wouldn't even spell the whole name of God. They'd leave out a letter so that they didn't blaspheme God, because God is so perfect and God is so wonderful. And when they translated the Bible, if they found errors in it, they had to destroy it and start over again. And it would take a man who was translating the Bible and writing out a Bible, would take him a year to write out a Bible. It cost a year's salary to buy a Bible back in those days when they had to be handwritten. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And here you've got one. You probably paid $30, $40 for it, maybe even less. Maybe you got a leather bound, paid $100. That's wonderful. Love your Bible with all of your heart and live in your Bible and do what it says, because it does no good to live in it, read it, if you don't obey it. You've got to obey the Word of God. You've got to obey the Word of God. Now, I don't have time to give you all seven of these reasons why we love the King James Version of the Bible. But it's very easy to know, and I will say them fairly quickly, because I want you to get you a Bible that's a true authorized Bible. If you've been reading the NIV, go to the bookstore today. I wouldn't wait till tomorrow. I'd go today and get me a Bible that comes from the Textus Receptus and the Hebrew text, and then you know you've got a pure Bible. Let me tell you about one of my dear friends. His name is Randall Price. He's a great scholar when it comes to Jewish matters, has his doctorate, and he studied hard, and he's a very learned man. He's a good friend of mine. And I was interviewing one time about the Dead Sea Scrolls. He's researched them and studied them, and they are important to him. Got a book on them. And I said to him, Randall, tell me something. When you were studying the Dead Sea Scrolls, they came out, as you know, the Old Testament. I said, were they books? Were they the language that is authorized in the King James, or are they the books that was authorized in the false versions? Oh, Reverend Chambers, he said, I knew you were going to ask me that question. They definitely are supportive of the authorized text. They are definitely supportive of the authorized text, and yes, that's what your King James came from. So I proved to him that he proved to me really that the Dead Sea Scrolls came from the text that is part of our authorized Bible. Oh, that's thrilling to me. Now, let me name these seven things and take a moment. And I've been watching or listening. You have a question? 704-391-0588. A question, 704-391-0588. I haven't been saying this every week, but I have a wonderful booklet written on this subject. And it's all about it. There's enough proof in there to make you take your NIV Bible and get rid of it. I promise you. I mean, over and over, I take verse after verse and show you the two renderings in the NIV and then the King James. I mean, you're talking about horrible, horrible. He even says in one place that Joseph was the father of Jesus. He literally does. Calls Joseph the father of Jesus. Now, those kind of things are despicable. They are horrible. I don't understand why we can't convince people to get rid of that corrupt thing. The only reason we can't is because you've somehow been duped into thinking that it's okay. Is, you know, what's wrong with the church today? Why is the church so miserably a failure? Why are the multitudes of people calling me and saying, what do I do? I can't find a church that is really old-fashioned, that's truly, truly according to the Bible. And I say, I don't know what to tell you, except get on our internet and listen to our sermons, and we'll do our best to give you the truth, and we'll do it week by week by week by week, Saturday by Saturday. I'm going to bring you the truth. I'm going to do it as long as this little old body will sit here, and my mind will work, and I'll use my magnifying glass, you know. I don't mind that. You say, I'm criticized. I don't care if you criticize me. I'm still going to use it and bring you the Bible and tell you the truth. Now, I want to give you Now, again, order this Monday. You can't do it today. If you call after the program is over, you'll get the voicemail, and you can give your name and address, and my secretary will get it off for me on Monday. Or better still, wait till Monday and call the same number. Call the same number after 8:30. Wait till after 8:30. Let her get settled. Let her get school going. And then give her your name and address and tell her you want a copy of the booklet today, Our God Watches Over the Holy Bible. And she'll get it ready and send you a copy, okay? If you'd like to have a copy, remember that. Now call Monday, same number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I'm still looking for a couple of calls. If you one of those who got saved reading a corrupt Bible, and God got a hold of your heart and had you to go get you an original Bible, call us and tell us how God dealt with you. You know, whatever may be your testimony, there's a multitude of people out there that love the King James Version. And I know there's a multitude turning the other direction. In most cases, they don't have any choice. If they go to church and listen to the preacher read the Bible, they got to take them an NIV Bible with them, or get the one in the song rack. Oh, friend, come on. Let's get back. See, this is why the church is in such a mess. This is why the church is in such a backslid condition. This is why they take down the cross and get rid of the altar and drink coffee and dance to rock music in the aisles. My friend, I'm telling you, get back to the truth of God's word, because he's coming any minute. Now, when you begin to see those wonders in the clouds above, in the atmosphere above, it's going to shake this nation. I really believe the first thing God's going to do is bring people back to the Bible. I think the first thing that's got to happen before a sovereign revival takes place has got to be a return to the authorized Word of God. I've said this often. A liberal church that's going after the new Bibles is not going to be a place of Holy Ghost revival. They're not going to have a move of God until they get back to the Word of God. He watches over His Word and He hastens to fulfill it. Oh, I'm trying to get to this. Seven reasons I love the Bible. Number one, it's a perfect book. Hey, that don't need a lot of interpretation. Number one, it's a perfect book. I love the Bible because it's a perfect book. Number two, I love the Bible because it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's 2 Timothy, okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And it tells you what it's profitable for. So number two. Number three, it's a book of purity, of righteousness. When you read the Bible, it doesn't diddle about righteousness. It doesn't diddle about what's right and what's wrong. It gives you the plain way to live. The Bible is a handbook for the Christian to know how to repair his life. The Bible is a handbook to know how to put your life back together when sin has torn it apart. The Bible is a book that'll tell you how to clean up your act so that you live long on the face of God's earth. Did you know the Bible said, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth? Did you know that? When you dishonor your father and mother, you cut your days off. I'm telling you, you cut a slash in the longevity of your life. When you disobey the parents and you show them no honor and no respect, obey them. That's another commandment in the New Testament. I won't go there, but it's important also. So the Bible is a perfect book of righteous living. How to live the Christian life. If you read a Bible, you'll have no trouble knowing how to live. If you'll read the Bible. And if you read it and then don't obey it, you're in worse shape than if you didn't read it. I'm telling you the truth. So obey the Bible and read it and love it. And then every prophecy in the Bible has been fulfilled perfectly. Not a prophecy in the Old Testament, unless it had to do with the extreme end, that has not been yet fulfilled. The Bible is so pure. Even the idea of the rapture, the coming of the Lord, you don't need a thing to happen because prophecies have been fulfilled. The year 48, four years before I got saved, I was trying to make sure my thinking was right. In 48, Israel became a nation again after nearly 2,000 years. One of the clearest signs of fulfillment of prophecy. And your dear President, President Trump, last year decided to make Jerusalem the city where we would have our embassy, and the first nation in all the world to make Jerusalem the seat of our embassy was America under President Trump. You're talking about an honorable position for him to take. You're talking about an honorable thing for him to do. I promise you, he was fulfilling the Bible. He was fulfilling the Scripture. So every prophecy in the Bible that has been dated and that has already been to be fulfilled has been fulfilled. Study the life of Christ. They said not a bone would be broken. Well, that's not the way they normally did it. They said different things that would happen. All of it happened as clearly. They would gamble over his robe. What does those Roman soldiers do but cast lots for his robe? Friend, everything in the Bible has been perfectly fulfilled. If you can't love a book like that, what is wrong with you? What a book! What a book! Every prophecy fulfilled in everything on the world seen scientific is the word I'm trying to read. Every scientific discovery through the history of man has always authenticated or proved some great truth in the Bible. Did you know that? Isn't that something that even the scientists can't get out there and make some great discovery without the people of God who love the Bible finding a place in the Bible that makes the leave way for that to happen? Now, let me tell you something. I got a cell phone here. I kind of like my cell phone. I've got a grandson in Germany. I've got WhatsApp on here. I can dial my grandson in Germany. There's no cords. It don't connect to nothing but the atmosphere. I can dial my grandson in Germany, and I can do it on the WhatsApp, and he comes up on the screen in front of me, and I look, hey there, my grandson. He says, hey, Papa. And so I'm talking to him. I'm looking at him. He's looking at me, and we're connected all the way from here to Germany in seconds. In seconds. Now, how in the world could something so scientifically happen? Jesus is the light of the world. This entire globe is enshrouded with a perfect lighting system, a perfect lighting. How do I say it? I'm not scientific enough to say it right. But the whole globe, the whole earth is encircled with this electric connection. Everything is connected on the face of God's earth. When you pick up this cell phone, you go right into that system that God has created that covers the earth and connects us all together. And you go right through that stream of light in the speed of light. And you're talking to my grandson in Germany. I'm watching his picture. He's seeing mine. And it all happens in seconds. Now, you think those scientists are smart? No, God's smart. They just discovered something God had already created. Jesus is the light of the world. I said, Jesus is the light of the world. Do you know, as this earth turns at great speed, moving through the stratosphere, it always maintains a connection and a polarity right on the North Pole. It may spin here and spin over there, but as it spins, it turns and keeps that northern connection. Why does the earth do that? Because Jesus is the light of the world. If they moved it and took it out of polarity, the lights would go out and you'd be in darkness and you'd be scared to death. See, all of that scientific discovery is nothing but God's work. It's God's doing. So everything they discover is just a picture of God's greatness, of God's glory, of God's majesty. Are you listening to me today? I've given you so much things to help you know this Bible is the pure Word of God. This Bible is the pure Word of God. And you can trust it. You can believe it. You can bank your life on it. You can live in hopes of this Word and what it says. And one day you'll have a new body and you'll spend eternity with the Lord. You can reject it. Say, I don't want no Bible like this. I want to do like I please. And you reject the life of God and you'll spend eternity in a devil's hell. And it's really your choice. It really is your choice. Now, don't get bothered at me. I love you. I'm just telling you wonderful truth about this Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world, and His light will never go out. It is impossible. The devil has been so defeated by the cross of Jesus Christ and by the blood of His sacrifice that you have perfect hope that heaven is yours. Now, there's two more here. One is, it's the food of my soul. I'd pick up the Bible and read a chapter anywhere between Genesis and Revelation, and it feeds me. It's just like having a big steak. It's like having big old buttered biscuits with tomatoes on it. I mean, it is really something outlandishly wonderful. Outlandishly wonderful. The Bible feeds you. The soul, see, is a part of your person. Your body needs food. Your soul needs food. Your body gets hungry. Your soul gets hungry. A lot of you out there running from pillar to post, taking drugs and doing everything you can imagine to try to have some satisfaction in here. And all the problem is you're hungry for something real in your inner man. You're hungry for something real in the spirit man. You need something to feed you. You are an empty vessel. And so life is an empty mess for you because you're not feeding on the things of God. Am I making sense? Oh, I hope I am. I'm reaching for you. One last thing is, it'll transform the worst sinner. There's no such thing as a sinner that the blood of Jesus will not wash and transform. There is no such thing as a sinner that the blood of Jesus will not reach and transform. I'm getting back to my sermons here because in a moment I'm going to have a song for you. In a moment I'm going to have a song for you. And I want to bless you. And I want to get you ready for the King is coming. I want to get you ready, for the King is coming. Are you listening to me? I want to get you ready because the King is coming. I want you to serve the Lord God and live for Him. I want you to serve the Lord God and live for Him and walk with Him and obey Him. I think I got it ready. And I want to feed you while you pray. Why don't you find your place and get on your face and let God save you? There are millions of sinners listening to me right now. Millions. Some of you are in Australia. Some of you are in Lebanon. Some of you are in Pakistan. Some of you are in Soviet Union. Some of you are in South Africa. Some of you are in South America, Canada, even in America, even in Charlotte, North Carolina. And you could come to church in the morning right here at Paul Creek. That's 5110 Tuckasegee Road. 5110 Tuckasegee Road. Put it in your little map, GPS, and come to church in the morning. 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock. I'm going to preach on I am the door. Jesus said it. I am the door. Not me. Jesus said, I am the door. Say that again. Not me. Jesus said, I am the door. He is the door. And He opens you up into this wonderful world that is so beautiful. It starts with making you a part of the family of God. Making you a part of the family of God. You're no longer lonesome and weary and no place to anchor your life. He makes you a part of the family of God. And Jesus is the door right into that family. Right into that family. And there are many other wonderful promises within the great spirit of Christ's love for you. And Christ's devotion to you. And Christ cares over you. Now, Paul Creek is 5110 Tuckasegee Road right here in Charlotte. I'll be preaching in the morning at 11 o'clock. I'd love to have you. We have lunch after the preaching. I'm going to make up. If I can find blueberries, I've been looking for them this morning and they're out of season. It may have to be blackberry. I don't know. But that's good too. It won't make no difference. But I love the blueberry. I love the blueberry because they got two great grandchildren up there and they leave on Thursday to come see Papa. They're leaving Thursday to come and see Papa. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. We have many reasons to be happy and to be rejoicing and to praise God. We got a Bible that is perfect. You don't have to worry about whether you can go to heaven or whether you got to go to hell. This Bible will get you ready to go to heaven. And when He forgives your sins, He will never remember them against you again. I told you I was going to read that to you, and I am. I want you to hear it. It's in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, well, where is it at? I thought I had it marked. I thought I did. But I've marked something else and missed that one. All right, let's go to Hebrews 8. I want to read it to you right quick here before I go off the air. You got to hear it. You got to hear it. Chapter 8. Come on, Reverend. Get it. Here it is. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Did you know that's in the Bible in Hebrews 8 and verses 12? Hebrews 8 and verses 12, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I'm so proud to bring you the truth. I love every minute of you. If you don't love me bringing you the truth, I'm sorry. I wish you did. Be a part of it. Be a giver. Oh, would I love to start a classical Pentecostal college. That's got all on my heart again. I'm only 83, and that could be my next 10-year project, is a great classical Pentecostal college where young people could come and truly get educated in the Bible and the great things of God. Oh, I would love that. I would love that. I hope you would love that. My friend, we are right near the coming of the Lord. We are right near the coming of the Lord. And I got to go here because my time is giving out. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you much. You are precious to me. And I want your life to be full of God's graces. Okay?
Since I found in Him a friend, listen, so strong and true.
Woo!
I would tell you how He changed my life completely.
He did something.
He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin
and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me.
Yes, he did.
And he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Darkness from me.
Oh, how much.
Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes with me with new assurance.
Hallelujah.
More and more I understand his words of love.
Of course, I'm home.
But I'll never know just why he came to save me.
Hallelujah.
Till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's no other friend so kind as he.
Hallelujah.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Oh, how much
he cares for me.